Hello, welcome to the very first show of the spring quarter, probably for all of UCLA Radio. Can't confirm that, but I'm going to go ahead and make a guess. This is MLB Talk, and you are listening to us on UCLARadio.com. We have a very fun show for you today. Since this is our last show before opening day, we are going to talk a little bit about each or as many teams as we can using the very convenient over-under lines posted through Las Vegas casinos. We're going to talk a little bit about Fantasy League Draft that we both participated in. And, of course, we're going to get to the topical stuff. If you want to call us to talk about anything, the phone number is 310-794-9348. And, of course, my name is Andrew, and I'm joined by Chase. So, I wanted to start today's show by asking you what you wanted to talk about. What has piqued your interest lately?
I would say the ongoing saga that's going on between Chris Bryant, Scott Boras, and the Cubs. Just because I think a headline on hardballtalk.com put it best tonight where it said, Cubs are going to break spring training without their best 25-man roster. And at the end of the day, if I'm Theo Epstein, Theo's a guy who has earned my trust. This is a guy who built the Red Sox into the powerhouse they were, won two World... Yeah, he was there for 04 and 07. Won two World Series with them, groomed Charrington, who built the next wave of the Red Sox.
Basically gets half credit for 2013.
So at the end of the day, Theo knows what he's doing. And listen, I get this move. If this guy's a stud like he's talking about, you're telling me you're not going to sacrifice 2 weeks, so maybe 10 to 12 games at most, for another season of this guy? So I get it. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, if you're a Cubs fan, 1908, that's a really long time ago. My great-grandparents weren't even born yet. So it's quite the World Series drought, but it's one of those arguments where I think both sides have a very valid point, and I'm sure that Scott Boras on the back end, when Chris Bryant is up for that big extension, is going to have no problem saying, well, remember when you screwed us at the beginning? Well, it's payback time.
Yeah, I was going to say, by doing this, the Cubs are essentially saying, okay, if Chris Bryant is a superstar, we are not going to keep him when he reaches free agency. But overall, their logic is sound. You know, you're talking about at most half a win being lost by having him sit out the first 2 weeks. I was listening to another podcast today on FanGraphs, and they were pretty much talking about how if Mike Trout sat out the amount of time that Chris Bryant needs to sit out or go to the minors or whatever, you would expect to lose about half a game in terms of wins. So Chris Bryant, if he is as good as Mike Trout, that is the most this amount of time will be worth.
And for what it's worth, even to build off the Trout argument, when Trout came up, he didn't come up until around April 26th.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 2 weeks later than they're going to bring Bryant up. So if anyone wants to use an argument of a star player, look at Mike Trout, who had the best rookie year ever. You know, if Miguel Cabrera doesn't win the Triple Crown that year, probably a historically good season. So when push comes to shove, if you need to look at something, look at Mike Trout. And I think at the end of the day, Bryant is going to be a stud. 2 weeks isn't going to be the end of the world for the Cubs. They're not going to live or die with 2 weeks of the season.
I think the terrible part about this, though, is that no one wants this. This isn't what the Cubs front office wants. This isn't what Chris Bryant wants. This isn't what the fans want. This is just dictated by the CBA. It's as simple as that, and I think that's really terrible. And what's worse is when you think about it changing, you know, when the CBA expires after next year, if the Players Association would go to the owners and say, hey, we want to get rid of this rule so that way our young players can play earlier and, you know, essentially make it less difficult for players to hit free agency, the owners are going to say, okay, well, we want something back. And the MLBPA is going to be in a bad situation because they're supposed to be helping their veterans, not rookies. They don't really have an incentive to do that. In fact, Chris Bryant isn't even a member of the MLBPA yet. You have to be put on the 40-man roster. So there is very little incentive for this to be changed, but needs to be. It's a terrible rule. No one likes it. I mean, but it's a no-brainer for the Cubs to do what they did. And, you know, I will be excited for all of this to be over because I'm really tired of sort of hearing the same thing over and over again. And even when Theo, you know, Theo says, oh, well, I've never had a rookie on opening day play. I don't believe in that. Actually, I don't think that logic is terrible. But it doesn't get rid of the fact that the rule is just bad. And we all want to see Chris Bryant play. So it's a shame. Anything else you got cooking that...
I'm just looking at something now. It's not necessarily like a huge topical thing, but it's the report today in the world of baseball finances that the average Major League Baseball salary this year will be more than $4 million.
Play baseball, kids.
Anyone, and it's literally, I'm reading this off a caption here, but anyone in the world who says baseball is not America's national pastime and the sport is dying, you're telling me that the average salary for baseball is $4 million? Yeah, I agree with you. My kid is playing baseball. He's going to become a lefty whether he likes it or not, and he's going to make $4 million a year and buy me a really nice house when I'm old and hating the world.
Perfect. That is a great plan. You're going to force him to be lefty? Just subject him to that, make him right, left-handed, and do every, chew on the left side of his mouth.
I mean,
all that
he could be righty also, like Pat Vendetti, who's trying to make
the
A's. Right,
I mean, he's never made the major leagues.
No,
I don't
but
think
what I'm
he
saying,
will.
But what I'm saying is he became ambidextrous, though, because from like the age of four, his dad made him pitch with both hands. He could be righty, too, if he wants, but...
It's everyone, about the one thing that Pat Vendetti and Rafael Nadal have in common. So they're both ambidextrous.
I did not know Nadal's ambidextrous.
He's a righty originally, forced to be a lefty.
Learn something new every
day. Yeah, so that way you have sports. You have the advantage on the forehand on backhand. Anyhow, so I think I'll just hope my kid is a lefty, you know, and go from there.
That's the more political comment.
Plus, also, I think like, you know, being a lefty, you can always say, oh, well, I'm like a natural fit for first base. And then you're chilling. You can just focus on the hitting. So
exactly. There you go.
So maybe I will force them to be lefty. Who knows?
It's a win-win situation.
Okay. So that's it?
That's all I really got.
Okay. Cool. So I'll let you decide. I'm giving you a lot of decisions today. You earned so much responsibility for being the only one of the co-hosts.
I passed
who's
the
here.
Intern class, by the way. I thought that
congratulations,
was
congratulations, yeah. Class 5. Good job. I pretty much expected you to. So
now it's like, you know, I'll be doing the same exact thing with you guys, but I'm just not an intern.
But I can't just mute you based on intern rules.
No. There you go.
I try not to do that. Someone has to say something really bad. Well, I think I would like to do a little bit of fantasy recap.
Oh, and about that.
So first, I want to talk about team names because there are some good team names here, and I'm not going to like hate on anybody for bad team names. Some people didn't change, so I'm not going to go for anything. But first one that I like, that's original, that I came out of left field. I really love it. Better Call Bean. I love that one.
I like it. Solid.
It's better if you're a Breaking Bad fan or / Better Call Saul. Does that fit? Have you seen those shows?
I know of Better Call Saul because the guy was in How I Met Your Mother in a very bit role, and I like that. So I like Forcall Me, maybe, even though I don't think Raphael Forcall has been in the bigs.
He actually just got released today.
I didn't even know he was on a team.
And yeah, Darren used that name last year, so it doesn't get that much credit.
Smoke Kemp every day, kind of forced.
Oh, you think it's kind of forced?
I think it's kind of forced.
I love it. I love it so much. I think it's a great one.
Like the simplicity of Miggy Smalls.
Yes.
Alex Rodriguez. I mean, who doesn't like to make fun of A-Rod?
Oh, that's new. Wait. Oh, that's okay.
I'll let
you. That's no fun. Max better change that.
I'll let you judge the Pineda Pine Tar's name.
Personally, I love it. The other people I've spoken to love it.
It was thrown together very before the draft, and
it was good.
Really hoping to get Mike Pineda this year.
And so I think sort of the star child of our league would be Zach and Miri make a Morno. However, should be noted, not an original concept. And I would call Vitaly out on that if he was here today. So
what's Monster Hunter?
I could explain this. So basically, I think it needs to be retooled a little bit. It is the idea was based around the fact that the Giants have Hunter Strickland and Hunter Pence, but I don't think it was really incorporated properly.
No.
And that's also what he likes to do. So it's an amazing video game from my childhood.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
That.
That's fair.
And then what do you think of Panic at the Disco with a K? Keep in mind the profile picture.
I think the most important point that they nailed is that they got the exclamation point.
Yes.
Because everyone knows Panic at the Disco, and post exclamation mark. Is this your team name?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a big deal to me. I think you did a good job.
Thank you.
I will look at the picture right now. Humor me for like
Let me describe to people what's going on. I found a picture of a disco dancer, you know, wearing the 70s outfit with his thumbs, one pointing down, one pointing up, all that stuff, with Joe Panic's head photoshopped onto it. I think that is just pure gold.
Well done. I'm going to be honest. I'm pretty sure I did not change my icon in this league.
It's okay. You'll work on it. I haven't even thought of a name for the other league yet.
I'm so. Just a hat.
Oh. Or maybe I'll use... Actually, I do have another name
that's
in store.
That's your Sunday at 5:30.
I know. I need to really prepare. That's very important to me.
Yeah, that's the big one.
It really is, right? I'm glad this was a practice. I'm glad this was before because I needed that.
This is the tune-up.
So I have another name. It's really great, and I might use it in the other league, and I might keep it here. Maybe I should tell you. I think I'm pretty happy about this one.
See it.
It's original. Two Pujols, one Mad Bum.
Go for it.
So, you know, there are lots of good, there have always been good Pujols related names. I just decided to take a new twist on it, and I'm really, really glad with the result. So, okay, actually, let's get into the draft now. So, I'm just going to talk about picks that I think were really, that I think were interesting. I was very pleased with how far Jose Altuve dropped. I think that's accurate. At least in my opinion.
I should probably look at the draft board.
Yeah, he was taking the second round, late second round. He's the 18th overall.
I had another draft last night, and I got him 18th overall.
Do you like him? I mean, he just scares me.
I like him. I think the upside's definitely there. I just think other than – I think you know he's going to steal bases. You know, do I think he's a 340 hitter, though? No, I think he's like a 290 to 310 slap hitter.
Right. I mean, he does play a good position, but it freaks me out because you look at the advanced stats and his BABIP is always so high, and I believe that there are players who are always going to have higher BABIPs than other players, and I'm talking about batting average on balls in play for people who aren't aware with that, but you should know because you're listening to us. Anyhow, so that just scares me that he's so BABIP dependent, but because he's fast, because he makes a good amount of contact, because he's got such a small strike zone, I do feel somewhat confident. Personally, I would just never take him. He just scares me. It makes me uncomfortable.
I'll dig into my own draft. Couple picks I was happy with. Miguel Cabrera falling to the number 14th pick in the draft.
Interesting, but I also, the injury concern, don't you feel like the injury concern is real?
I feel like it is, but at the end of the day, he was hurt all of last year and put up what for anyone else would be a monster season. And I do think the lineup to some degree will be better. He didn't really have Prince last year, so there wasn't really like that legitimate five-hole guy. You know, do I think Cespedes is the next coming of like a David Ortiz type player? No. Do I think he's good for 25 homers, 80 ribbies out of the six hole even because JD Martinez is going to hit five? Yeah, I like their lineup. You know, I think they'll be smart enough to incorporate him a little more at DH this year, and they'll just figure out what to do with V-Mart. Who, speaking of V-Mart, the fact that he's back after that knee surgery so quickly.
That, honestly, I love his tool set. I love it. Like, especially when he used to actually catch. Mm-hmm. It's just like, at this point, man, you have no idea what's going to happen with him. You just can't. He's a fragile player, you know? There's certain body types that just can't make it through so many seasons after another. It scares you. I think the other thing that I didn't love about Miguel Cabrera is there's just a lot of good first baseman now, and without the third base eligibility, it hurts. But he is an amazing – his ability to make contact and hit for power will always be there.
I'm just saying –
or not – okay, I can't say hit for power, but he can always make contact.
I'm thinking him and Jose Bautista are good for, like, at least 70 homers between the two of them.
Oh, you took Bautista? I love Jose Bautista so much. Every year, until he really starts showing a decline, the thing is, people have always been, oh, well, he can't hit for average. I actually think he can. I just think he's had a lot of weird luck in his career. You know, he's got excellent plate discipline and he's got amazing power. So I love that pick. I was very happy that I got McCutchen because, I mean, of course I was going to take him.
Five tool guy?
Five tools center field. It shouldn't be a question, but I was definitely disappointed that I couldn't have a chance at Bautista.
Yeah.
So moving on to round three, turns out my pick of Anthony Rendon may have been pretty questionable.
You know, we had the same thing, and I believe the same round last night. His knee, right?
Yeah. So he got evaluated by the third. He's getting a third opinion on his knee today, and that's what really scares me, is that he is looking for alternative opinions. To me, that's like, oh, I need someone to tell me I don't need surgery or something like that. Thankfully, I drafted in a way that it'll hurt, of course, because he's another five-tool guy, got multi-positional eligibility, and, you know, he does a little bit of everything. But I have D. Gordon to take his place and plenty of bench hitters, so it'll be all right. But I looking back, maybe I could have taken Brantley there. That would have been interesting. Strasburg, I can't take Strasburg. I don't trust him. What's your feel on that?
To me, he I think at the end of the day, you know, he's still could be that once in a generation talent, but I think he'll be the fourth best pitcher on his team this year.
Wow.
To me,
Jordan Zimmermann, Max Scherzer.
I go in order: Scherzer, Zimmermann, Pfister, Strasburg.
Pfister.
You know, though, I'm a huge Pfister fan.
To be honest, I wouldn't put Pfister above Strasburg, but I love Pfister, and I know why. I think, like, if you really know the game, you can see why he's so great.
He's just a guy. Is he going to overpower you? Is he going to strike you out? No, but the guy wins.
He wins, and he just knows how to. He knows how to induce weak contact. And he's just a great pitcher.
I mean, this is a guy I watched him 2 years in a row own the Yankees in the playoffs.
Yeah, but as a fantasy option, no, Strasburg obviously clear choice. So the thing that scares me, and I actually over spring break had the opportunity to talk to someone who knows a lot about body pitching mechanics. Like, I used to think I was kind of an expert. This lady, you know, I actually was thinking I want to get her to call in because the amount of stuff she told me was incredible. Anyways, we didn't talk about Strasburg. We only talked about Harvey. And regardless of that, Strasburg's his delivery is just always going to be scary to me. It's not effortless. It feels very strained and forced. And it's not his elbow I'm worried about. It's his everything, pretty much.
Yeah, and, you know, on the injury note, I'm looking at my sixth and eighth round picks, one with a pair of New York Aces and Harvey and Tanaka. You know, definitely pretty high risk, high reward. I think Harvey more so than Tanaka. I mean, I've watched, just being home in Jersey last week, watching Harvey pitch. I mean, he's back.
Right, so... Well, I guess now's a perfect time to talk about this. So the deal with Matt Harvey is the reason he got Tommy John, and if you remember, everyone was saying, oh, his mechanics were flawless, there's no reason, right? Turns out he has an incredibly stiff lower back, and he had this thing called a lordotic. His back was lordotic, and what that means is his back was not over his waist. It was like, you know, his butt, think sort of like his butt was sticking out, but that's not really what's happening. It's the other way around. And what that does is that causes your ribs to, like, splay outward. And as a result of that, the scapulas on your shoulders cannot rotate around your ribs as easily. And as a result, when you're throwing, it puts more pressure on the elbow. And that is what caused him to tear it and need Tommy John. Now he looks better, but apparently not, you know, still not where he needs to be. But they've worked on that. I don't think he's as much of an injury risk. Here's the thing about Tanaka. Mm-hmm. And this is why, what round did you pick him in?
I mean, I took him in the eighth round.
The eighth round. I think it was, I know that was early because here's the tough truth for you, man. His UCL is already torn.
I don't want to talk about
it. It's already torn. I know. So, Well, so I'm curious. I'd love to know why you picked him.
To me, it's, I mean, who was my first pitcher I took? I have Kluber. I think Kluber definitely doesn't match last year's numbers, but has a good year. You know, Hamels, we don't have wins in our league, right?
No wins. I don't believe in wins.
Yeah, okay. So then Hamels is pretty freaking good.
Yeah, Hamels is a great pick.
You know, I had Harvey. I just figured, you know what, like, it's high risk, high reward, but there's always a guy I could pick up if Tanaka falters.
Right. The thing, the issue I have with that is it's not high reward because he's not going to pitch the whole season. There's just no way. Because I read somewhere on ESPN, there was some talent evaluator who said, you know, I think probably 40% of major league pitchers have UCL damage already. And I know Tanaka, we know Tanaka has it. Mm-hmm. We know. So to me, it's an inevitability of when he gets hurt. It's just when he gets hurt. And so, you know, I think if you could, you want to be so crazy that you could do, you could get enough, hope he lasts until July when Jose Fernandez comes back, and then get Jose Fernandez. That would be insane.
My July pick, and it goes back to another guy that I should have brought up before when we were having the whole Chris Bryant argument. Have you seen Carlos Rondon, right?
Yeah.
The White Sox. This guy.
Wait, did you say Rondon?
Rondon.
Okay, so someone on Twitter was joking about this. It's Rodon. There's only one N.
Okay.
And they were saying, like, there people are going to keep mispronouncing his name until, like, 2017 or something.
To me, this is another thing that falls under the heading of the Chris Bryant having guy in the minors rule. It's just across town in Chicago. The White Sox fifth starter right now is Hector Nwosi. Horrible Yankee, horrible Mariner, pretty mediocre wherever he's gone. Like the definition of a fringe
league average
pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy in the spring training, you know, I know it's spring training, but and the Royals don't necessarily have the best lineup. But at the end of the day, these guys just were a base away from winning the World Series and had their everyday lineup in, and he carved them up. We're striking out guys left and right. You know, I know you want to keep this guy fresh, but you're not going to tell me that he's better than Hector Nwosi. You know, you go out, and if you're Rick Hahn and Ken Williams, who run the White Sox, you made all these moves this offseason. You know, you signed LaRoche, you signed Robertson, you traded for Zamarja, Melky, even Zach Duke, who reinvented himself as a very good lefty setup man. You're telling me that, you know, if you're going to go all in, go all in. And I guess it's like that to the Cubs, with the Cubs to some degree, except the difference is the Cubs fans have been prepped for the youth development. It's just...
Yeah, so I think the big thing, though, is where they are on the win curve. Are you familiar with the marginal win curve?
To some degree.
So it's the idea that in terms of dollar amounts for the team, certain wins are more valuable than others. Specifically, 85 to 90 is the most valuable. Past 90, you're definitely in the playoffs, so there's diminishing return. And then, you know, 80 and below, it's like, well, you suck. So it's winning one more game is not going to change that you suck. So Vegas has one. Was Bovada, one of the Vegas casinos, has the Cubs at 82.5 for their over/under, and the White Sox have them at 81.5. So both of those. Neither of those include Rodon or Bryant. So you include Bryant, the Cubs are right in the middle of that curve where it's really important. You include Rodon, maybe, maybe not. It's not clear how much he can really help this year. So I think it makes a lot more sense for the White Sox than the Cubs. And at the same time, I'd love to see Rodon pitch. Isn't he throwing like 90-mile-an-hour sliders?
He's Chris Sale 2.0.
The dude's a beast.
And that's the other
awesome
thing. The White Sox have set a precedent with this because they did the same thing with Chris Sale. They drafted him. He spent a little time in the minors. You know, Robert Ventura said, we don't want him in the bullpen. I could tell you as a Yankee fan watching Dellin Betances pitch last year, a former starter, if you have a multi-inning reliever who's lights out, to me at this point, that's the best tool you can have in baseball.
I think firemen, if it doesn't come back, it'll be a shame because it should be a real thing. They're incredibly effective. I totally agree with you. You know, Tim Lincecum is looking better, just to do a total segue here. Tim Lincecum is looking better as a starter. He had a good start today. He gave up a pop-up home run, and that was it. So I don't really put that on him. That guy, or there are many guys who can, you know they're good for like three innings. It's I don't understand why more teams don't do it, because it's like, hello, these guys are clearly better than relievers. You can get them for multiple innings, and they'll also just put up great numbers, and it'll also be cost effective. So I agree with you. I think Rodon, though, you know, you always want those guys to be starters. Betances never really, I don't think, had any semblance of control that Rodon does, so...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm looking here. So then what do you think of the round 9 pick that I made in light of this whole discussion? Too early for him?
Oh, no. I'm so mad about this. I love drafting Chris Bryant this year. You totally did the right thing. I was literally going to take him in the next round. So So I saw that the ADP for him was around pick 100, so it's round 10. So I said, okay, I think I have a good chance. Then you take him around early. I was like, crap, that's what I should have done.
He's just the one. I did the same thing last night.
You're totally spot on with that. You are absolutely right to do that. And I've even, like, heard some swing like evaluation that's like his is pretty much like perfect. It's exactly what you want. And I just think he's going to rake. He's going to rake.
I mean, if you think of it this way, say, you know, I think he's projected on ESPN somewhere in the ballpark of like 25 homers, 75 ribbies. What third baseman are going to
agree.
Maybe Beltre.
The one I got, Evan Longoria.
Yeah, Longo, Beltre, and maybe Zimmerman if he maintains third base eligibility.
Yeah.
Other than that, Pablo will have him beat in ribbies. I think Pablo's going to mash doubles off the monster.
But. Yeah. He's going to have he's much better from the left side. He's going to have a great time with the pesky pole. A really great time with that.
He's going to light us up in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the most effective thing you can do against Pablo is get him to bat right-handed. I don't know why he bats right-handed. It doesn't make any sense. He's a terrible right-hander, and he has been for years. So it's weird. So I want to jump up a little higher up and talk about a pick that I made that I think some people disagree with. So I took Julio Teheran at 62, and Adam Wainwright was at 64. So everyone...
That's round... six and seven?
Yeah, seven. Round okay. seven. Okay. Top round seven.
You took Julio first, then Wainwright?
No, someone else took Wainwright. So, okay. You know, people are telling me that I should have taken Wainwright. And I sort of point to where they are in their careers, and Adam Wainwright is a big injury risk. He strikes out about the same amount of guys. And the one big difference between their peripherals is their home run rate. Adam Wainwright gives up a home run, 0.4 home runs per nine innings, and Teheran gives up 0.9 per nine innings. If Teheran can get that down, he is like a younger Wainwright. He's got great control, has stuff that I just love, and has already posted an ERA under 3 with like 220 innings. And I also think he can bump up his strikeout rate to closer to a batter in innings. So I'm really hoping that works out for me. I'm just a big fan of him as a pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I like both guys. I think they're both unquestioned aces of their team.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you said. At the end of the day, you know, Teheran, he's young. He's young. He's coming off a big year. I think he's on the upswing. And not that I think Wainwright is in decline. Wainwright had a fantastic year last year. I just think he's had Tommy John surgery already. He's had the injury problems this offseason. And he's just always a guy, you know, he'll get through the whole season, you know, making 28 to 32 starts. But there's always something. There's always an elbow soreness or a dead arm or something that, you know, he's going to miss a start or two. And there's always cause for concern. So I don't necessarily have a problem with the pick. You know, I could see people who don't necessarily know Teheran's body of work and know Wainwright because he's Wainwright.
Yeah.
He's a big name guy. I could see it. But I think you made the right move. I'm also intrigued. You know, I'm looking at the last round of our draft. There were some, like, not horrible value picks there. I mean, I'm looking. I mean, Brandon Belt that you picked.
Thank you. I know.
I picked Belt last year, but...
I had Belt. Belt was going to break out last year.
Yeah.
Then he got his hand broken, and then he got hit in the face.
He's going to be either hitting in front or behind Posey. It's staying on the field, and I think he'll put it together.
Well, what's looking like right now is Aoki's going to lead off. Pagan's going to go to third, going to bat third. Posey fourth, Belt fifth.
Pence six?
Oh, sorry. Well, Pence is out. But when Pence comes back, if Belt's not mashing, I'd imagine...
Panic too?
Panic's going to be at two. And, you know, I think people really don't like Panic. They don't see a lot from him. He's got 3 spring training home runs. People, the projections have him pegged for like 5 home runs all season. I could see him getting closer to 10.
I mean, if anyone's breaking out on your team, the Giants, I mean, to me, I think Crawford hits 20 homers this year.
Wow. Wow. Do you want to talk about that?
It's just a guy. The defense is elite. You know, he's another guy I picked up for a good stretch last year. I think the potential's there. I mean, okay, maybe not 20. I might have overestimated myself. You know, he hit 10, but he's a guy who...
So here's the thing. I'm sorry. Keep going.
The power has been progressing every year. You know, 40 in only 4 more games last year, to go from 43 to 69 ribbies, that's huge. I don't know. I think he's a guy who's just going to continue to make the jump.
Have you seen him play somewhat?
Yeah, you know, watch him on MLB Network.
Okay. He's got a great swing. He really does. It's just really compact, and he definitely, there's power in his bat. I think maybe one year, if he just said, screw it, I am hitting 250 now, I'll hit 200, he could hit 20 bombs. I think that's not what he'd want. But, you know, I have to say, I really like his approach at the plate. He's really improved a lot. He's really good against lefties now. If only he could figure out lefties and righties at the same time. I don't think I know no one drafted him in our league, but if something like that was to happen, I mean, it would be so cool if he broke out. I really think he could. I think the big thing for him would be the average, because he's hitting 250 every year. I just think he needs to do a little better in that, because he's got a good eye. And, you know, we'll look out for that. For me, I'm still looking for Belt to finally get close to his power potential. Because, the guy can he's got a lot of power in his bat. It's just about consistently putting it together. So that's why I made that pick. There are some minor leaguers that I think about now who I would have considered taking in the later rounds. A couple of years ago, I took Jose Fernandez with the last pick on our draft period. That was the year he pitched, the first year that he pitched the whole time. That was so awesome.
Cy Young runner up.
So I know that that's definitely like a really good strategy.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, young guy, a lot of people might not know him, who I'm banking on. He's another guy like Chris Bryant I'm targeting in every league, is Ken Giles on the Phillies. You know, I'm reading.
Like, yeah, you took him pretty early, didn't you?
You know, the thing in our league is holds and saves are one and the same. He'll be the setup man the whole year. When they inevitably trade Papelbon, he's going to be the closer. I mean, this is a guy, I don't want to say he's Kimbrel. I don't think anyone is in Kimbrel's tier. But this is a guy, you know, a right-hander who's just going to throw it by you with nasty stuff. I mean, last year, he pitched in 45 and two-thirds innings. He had a 1.18 ERA and a 64-11 walk-to-strikeout ratio.
How many holds, though?
You know, I'll look. That's a good question. So, something I should have looked ahead of time.
But. So I do save holds on purpose, because saves are BS to begin with.
He's also 3-1 for what it was worth.
Okay. All right.
a .778 whip, and I don't know why they don't have holds. I'm going to have to go to MLB.com and look.
Go to Fangraphs, dude.
I was on Baseball Reference. They're usually pretty
reliable. You took him round 12. I don't know what the rest of your team looked like.
I don't think I have a real closer, though. Like, I think my relievers are like him and Wade Davis.
That's fine. You took Wade Davis. Ah. So, okay, there's Chris Davis. Wow, Smoke Kemp every day took Chris Davis in round 7, which I felt like was pretty early. But, okay, so you took Wade Davis in round 15. I like that a lot. I'm really glad that someone is finally utilizing the opportunity of holds.
13 holds he had last year in 44 games.
That is the brutal part. The thing about save holds is I do it to allow for flexibility, but you still need the saves, because holds come and go, you know? Sometimes, even if you're the best non-closer on your team, your manager's going to need you to pitch in a game that the team's probably going to lose anyways, and you don't get a hold for that. So I like your thought process in that. I just feel like maybe it was also early. I personally have a philosophy of never, ever, ever, ever paying for closers, because there's always going to be a closer that you can find.
Well, that was the thing, too. I just don't see Papelbon making it through the year there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Papelbon. Look, if the Phillies had real management, Papelbon would already be gone. He would be on the Blue Jays.
He's like, in our WWE match of the week for this exact reason.
Okay, great. So I won't spoil that. One more pick I'd like to throw out there, and then I think I'll take a quick break. Jock Peterson, round 19, Dodgers starting center fielder. I can't believe. I was like, oh my gosh, he's available. This is a guy that is being projected for 2020, and he's mashing it in spring, and I think he can do better than that. And also, it's like you have no idea where the average might be. So I was thrilled to get him there.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got the stuff to be. I think he has a good rookie year this year. I think 2020 is definitely in the realm of possibility. I think next year is the year he becomes a superstar.
I agree, yeah.
And to justify my pick of two setup men, I picked Houston Street. He's projected to have 40-something.
So you have three relievers.
Yeah, I like to mix
them. Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. I try to just go with the bare minimum that I need to succeed.
It's basically going to be when Giles or Wade Davis pitch and likely won't pitch the next day.
Right. I'll plug the other one in. Okay. That's a good strategy. I like that. Let's see. Other interesting picks. Jose Quintana, round 19 for Vitaly, Zach and Mary American Morno. I love that pick. I had Jose Quintana last year. Dude is totally underrated. He may not strike out a ton of guys, but he doesn't give up runs either. So I'm really surprised that he fell below below someone like Pineda, for example, Rusny Castillo. I think the end of our draft got kind of weird. Everyone had like a really different strategy.
I took Derek Jeter in the last round of my draft last night.
That's so charming. That's really adorable.
When you by the end of a draft run out of crappy, you know, utility type infielders to
take some free agents.
You take Derek Jeter and then you wait and see.
Are you familiar with Cespedes BBQ?
The Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter
handle. Yes.
They went on some mock drafts a couple weeks ago and just trolled and would pick players with like names that only started with Q or like players who all had the name Jay, stuff like that.
Is Quentin Berry still in the bigs? He's the first one.
I don't know, but you could take that guy. I mean, it was really hilarious. I love that kind of stuff, especially like if it doesn't really impact what's going on. So I think I want to make okay. We got through most of these. Thank you for listening to us recap our draft slightly. I think it's going to be a good year. I'm going to make sure there are a lot of trades. I'm going to set up some cool trade-related stuff. So we're going to take a quick break. This is MLB Talk, and you are listening on UCLA Radio. Hello. Welcome back to MLB Talk. You are listening to us on UCLARadio.com. And, of course, if you would like to listen to this show or any of our other shows at another time, or maybe the stream isn't working right now and no one can listen to this, just a possibility. Not going to say that's definitely what's happening. You can listen to us at UCLAMLBTalk.podomatic.com. That's UCLAMLBTalk.podomatic.com. So we are going to do the tweet of the week right now. And, well, do you want to go first? Should I go first? You tell me.
I can go first. So mine isn't cool. From anyone in particular. It's the MLB Daily Motivation quote. Today it is from the great Bambino, the one and only Babe Ruth. The quote is, "I swing with everything I got. I hit big or I miss big. I like to live life as big as I can." If that's not the epitome of why Babe Ruth was the man, then I don't know how else to explain it to you.
The Sultan of SWAT.
The Colossus of Clout. We could do this all day. Let's move on.
Yeah, okay. This is a good one. So mine is from at J Jaffe, or maybe it's just Jaff, and there's an underscore between his first name and his last name. This one starts with a profanity. Just going to warn you. F. Bleep. If I have to read another Chris Bryant service time article, I'm going to sue the MLBPA. I just, you know, very topical. I was like, yeah. Pretty much. That is a summation of exactly what's going on. The other one I wanted to pick was picture related. I don't know if you saw this, Chase. So Jerry Blevins was picked up by the Mets, released by the Nationals. And Jerry Blevins tweeted out to his followers, "Hey, I need a new profile picture. Can someone help?" And this one guy was like, "This you can do this with MS Paint." And he drew this like terrible guy on a mound with like one arm and a baseball in the other. It's really hilarious looking. And he ended up using that. And it didn't explode on Twitter, but like, you know, a couple of hundreds of people saw it. So,
you know, I saw this on ESPN last night and I'm thinking the same thing now that I thought then. One of my very good friends, her name's Asia. Her last name is Blevins. And I feel like that's not a super common last name, right?
I think it's not super common. I do think lots of people have it, though.
Long story short, I just texted her to see if there's any information. If there is, you guys will be the first ones to find out, and I'll probably make a fiasco out of it.
I actually knew someone in high school who was related to Kyle Korver of the Atlanta Hawks. This was before he was good. And they have different ethnic backgrounds, so you never know.
Interesting.
Anyhow, yeah, that's all I got on that front. So I wanted to go through some of the Vegas betting lines for the season and just talk a little bit about the teams, maybe make some predictions. Not going to hold anyone to it. It'll be all good. Nothing to worry about.
Hey, there's a reason we do $100 fantasy baseball. Like, we like to gamble.
That's right. And this is also in spirit of spring break. I went to Vegas, played some blackjack, made a lot of money, lost a lot of money, ended up making $10, and that was it. So. Hey.
$10 pays for your Carl's Jr.
Right. Or it pays for something else in Vegas. Do you wonder how they make money? Jeez. Anyhow, so I'm going to start with a team that I think is interesting. The Red Sox are pegged at 86.5. Would you go over or under and then talk about why?
86. you know, I don't know how many wins I think they are, just because to me this is probably the best lineup in baseball, in my opinion. They have one hole. It's catcher. And they have Blake.
Swihart.
Yeah. I mean, he's their top prospect. He's a catcher. I think he'll be up May, June at the latest. It's a pitching staff with a lot of question marks. When Clay Buchholz is your opening day starter and it's followed by Rick Porcello, there's something to be said about that. And Yuri Hara is already hurt. I don't really think the rest of the bullpen is that proven beyond that. That being said, I'm still going to take over. I think the lineup's fantastic. I don't think the AL East is what it once was. I see them winning 88 games.
Wow. Okay. That was a good argument, because I was going to say under initially. I think it really depends to me what they do with Mookie Betts. I know that sounds crazy.
I took him in the 9th round last night, so I hope they start him.
I think you should hope that they trade him, because otherwise he's log jammed. I think for the team, in my opinion, the best thing they should do is play him. I think they should try to move Jackie Bradley Jr. because, you know, you can't hit, right? So, to me, that's a big issue for them. I think, you know, they make that one of those two moves, get some kind of pitcher back, makes them a little bit better. So the thing that's evil about the Vegas lines is, of course, they do the half win, so you can't push. Can't push for 86.5.
That's the only thing that's evil about Vegas?
Yeah, just the only thing. Everything else about Vegas is great. Everyone knows that.
Just some good old-fashioned family.
No one loses money there. Yeah, it's great for the family. There's absolutely nothing sketchy about Vegas whatsoever. So, you know what? I'll take over. I guess they'll get 87 wins. So, another team that interests me. Ooh, Cincinnati Reds, 77.5. This one, to me, is really interesting. I'm going to go ahead and take the under. This is a classic Stars and Scrubs team. I think it's a good line, but they don't. But it's tricky, you know. They could be not too terrible, but I don't really trust Joey Votto anymore. I've always loved his approach at the plate, but the team and the fans want something else from him. And I think, in addition to his physical impairments, he's also a little probably mentally jarred. Brandon Phillips isn't the same guy that he used to be. Todd Frazier is good. I can't even. Devin Mesoraco is okay. Their shortstop is still Zach Hozart, so that's an F-. You have Jay Bruce, who is pretty much an enigma. I don't think you should trust Marlon Byrd ever. And Billy Hamilton. And then their starting staff is Cueto and others. So I'm going to take under. I think I'd give them like 75 wins.
Yeah, I'm going to take under over. And I think the best way you put it, Stars and Scrubs. You know, even the Stars on this team aren't what they once were. Phillips at this point is a glorified, you know, 260 RBI guy. You know, Votto at this
point. Whoa, 260 RBIs. That's amazing.
I should re-clarify for the people who don't know what I'm saying. 260 average and like a good amount of RBIs because he hits fourth. You know, Votto, the average is going to be there. The on base is going to be there. I think the power might be gone, though. I think Frazier's legit. I think Mesoraco's legit. I think Jay Bruce bounces back to some degree just because, I mean, he had knee surgery last year and sat out like 2 weeks. You can't do that. Like, I know you want to help your team. Hamilton, who knows? I mean, he hasn't really demonstrated, in my opinion, that he could consistently get on base to steal. I don't think Marlon Byrd is the answer. That was their big free agent splash.
Yes.
And truthfully, I think they're going to realize, you know, Cueto's not coming back, in my opinion, at least.
No, he's not. Why would he? Just no reason.
So I think they trade Cueto, and then you look at the rotation behind it. Homer Bailey got a fat contract and has become super injury prone since. And then after that, I think the next starter's Mike Leake.
Hey, man, I love Mike Leake. Don't trash on Mike Leake, dude.
Fun facts about two Reds. Mike Leake was the most recent player, I believe, to come up into the bigs with no minor league service time.
I think he's probably the only pitcher, specifically. Or maybe it's the other way around. I think he was like the first pitcher to do that.
And Todd Frazier was a member of the Toms River Little League World Series championship team.
I think those, not only are those great facts, I'm also pleased to know that I knew both of those. Anyhow, so was you going to take under?
Okay.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So last one, and then I guess we'll try to do BWWE. Mets, Yankees, both at 81.5.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to see your brain squeeze a little bit. Right. That was really great.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the over for the Yankees. And here's why. Do I think this Yankee team's good? Absolutely not. But do I think it's better than last year's 84-win team? Yeah. I think the bullpen, to me, is Miller necessarily proven? No, but I think him and Robertson are kind of a wash. I like some of the under-the-radar moves he traded for David Carpenter. I like him in the back end. You know, I think Adam Warren out of the five hole.
He's the big name.
I think he could definitely make some noise. I think a full season of Pineda's huge.
But that's the thing. Pineda's never pitched a full season. It's hard to know that, you know, one, can you get a full season out of him? And two, can he be any, will he actually be good for a whole season?
I think Eovaldi is going to be good. You know, Larry Rothschild's been working with him. I think he cuts down on the hits a little bit and, you know, starts to pitch like a guy who does throw in the upper 90s.
He really needs something against lefties, though, especially in this park.
He's been working on a changeup, I know.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
So I'll take the over for the Yankees just because, you know, I'm not the biggest fan, but I give Girardi credit. He gets the most out of his teams. For the Mets, I'm definitely going to take over. And it's just, you know, I'm a firm believer pitching wins pennants. And do I think the Mets are going to win a pennant or even make the playoffs? Not necessarily, but the rotation's five deep. The bullpen's going to get Bobby Parnell back and be pretty solid. They move the fences in again for David Wright. That's only going to help.
I think that's so important, yeah.
I
love how they do that specifically for one player. I don't think there's any other team that would even consider that. And they're just like, David Wright, yes, we need you.
I think Darnold makes the jump this year, where he's like a 20-homer catcher. I think a full year of Duda at first could go a long way. And even like Michael Kadire. I don't think Michael Kadire is going to have that great of a year, but I think 20 homers, 70-something ribbies out of him isn't too crazy. And just the leadership he brings.
That's interesting. I personally kind of really hated the Kadire move. I just felt like, you know, he never posted any kind of average like he did before he went to Colorado. Hasn't really been consistently healthy in a while and plays shoddy defense. So I was never big on him. But what I think is so incredible is the Zach Wheeler injury, which was huge. And honestly, I think really had like it complete. I already thought the Beltran trade was justified, but knowing Zach Wheeler's history now, I think it was even more justified than before. But anyways, no need to rehash terrible trades from 2011. The fact that they still have such a deep starting staff really says so much. I think, you know, Harvey's going to be amazing, and I'm really excited for Syndergaard and Rafael Montero, hopefully both. I'll take the over on them. How are they going to hit, man? I don't know how they're going to hit. That's my big question for them.
To quote Michael
and then what's going
to
happen?
McCann, man.
That's great. Is that... Man, I feel like that's almost a palindrome.
Don't worry. It's Michael. Not Michael K. It's Sterling.
Oh,
Michael
got
K
it.
Has half a brain. Sterling
got
has none.
Ah, okay. So, and I think once Tanaka goes down, that's going to be really demoralizing for them because there are going to be people who think he's going to be fine. And I'll freaking eat a hat if Tanaka manages to stay healthy all year. I'd be really amazed by that. I'm going to take under, but only by a little bit. Only by a little bit. I think they can win 80 games.
I'm okay with that.
I think they can win 80 games. Okay. We got 2 minutes.
I think we're good on the clock. It doesn't look like anyone's coming anytime soon.
Okay, fine. We got more minutes. Bump, 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 bump. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Go ahead, Britt. Bring us into it.
All right, folks. So, for this week's WWE Match of the Week, we have a Four Corners Loser Leaves Town match. The object is obviously to be the first one to secure a pinfall, but in this case, the way we're going to do it is whoever wins, he stays in town, and the way we're doing this is all four members are amongst what I would probably say are the most hated players in baseball. So, that being said, in our first corner, from Milwaukee, representing the Brewers, Ryan, if the piss don't fit, you're full of shit, Braun. In the other corner, out of New York, Alex, for every million I make, I pissed off that many fans, Rodriguez. Out of Baltimore, he's DH'ing this year. Delman, it's okay to commit a hate crime. I'm a baseball player, young. And lastly, representing the mean streets of Philadelphia, Jonathan, losing sucks, but my teammates suck more, Papelbon. So, that being said, it's the first one to come out on top. He's staying in town. You got these four guys who just ooze douchebaggery. Because I like that word, and it just flowed there.
It's a great word.
Who are we thinking comes out on top?
For starters, I just want to congratulate you on what was an amazing introduction to a segment. I'm glad that I have bestowed upon you this right to do this, because you are killing it.
Hey, man, it's still real to me.
Yeah, it is real. It is real. True dat. Okay, so let me get this straight. Winner leaves town.
No, winner gets to stay.
Winner gets to stay. Okay, so Jonathan Papelbon is just going to say, I don't care. My team is great. We're going to win. And then we got... I think Delmon Young would fight for his freaking life because he knows this is a good spot for him. Then we have A-Rod. Who's the other one? Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Ryan, if the piss don't fit, you're full of shit, Braun.
Thank you. Do you think Ryan Braun doesn't like Milwaukee anymore?
Oh, I don't even know if it's necessarily that, you know, he doesn't like Milwaukee.
Okay.
It's just at this point, you know, you can only include so many I hate you matches with, like, AJ Pierzynski.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. I have to disagree with that a little bit. You can always do I hate matches with AJ Pierzynski. Anyhow, so I think that Ryan Braun and A-Rod would have a real fight. I think it would be tough between them. I don't know. Who would you have in that scenario?
Well, realistically, Delmon Young's going to kick the shit out of all three of those guys. That guy's huge. But I'm going with my heart here. I'm going with the man who used to be the pride of Israel, the Hebrew Hammer.
The Hebrew Hammer.
Ryan Braun.
Okay.
And on a side note, since we're talking about AJ Pierzynski, if anyone wants a great laugh after this, my advice, Google AJ Pierzynski fights Michael Barrett, and you'll understand why everyone hates AJ Pierzynski. And Nigel Morgan versus Gabby Sanchez. You want to see WWE-style clothesline? Gabby freaking Sanchez. He was out of the bigs 2 years later, but that's beside the point.
If you had freaking told me that Nigel Morgan versus Gabby Sanchez was a real fight, I would have just laughed and walked away. That is, oh man, I'm going to look that up later. That's great.
Wait, you've never really seen great. It?
I have not seen that one.
I mean, people can't really see what I'm doing right now, but pretend my phone's Nigel Morgan. It's just, boom.
Oh, wow.
Just lays him the hell out.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like Nigel Morgan. It's the guy everyone is just like, please get this guy to shut the hell up. So it's great.
Okay, I think I'm going to take Delmon Young because I think he wants it. I think in WWE, you are not impaired by the fact that you can't throw a ball for your life. So I'll take Delmon. How tall is he? Like 6'6" or something?
Yeah, he's also got a lot of pent up aggression.
And he's big.
He's probably going to go after Braun, and I don't know if I could say this on air, but Delmon Young doesn't like Jewish people.
Well, you want to know what? This is internet radio, so you can.
Woo! Yeah, woo! Just saying, guys, it's a fact. That was what the hate crime comment was for.
Oh, Delmon. It's okay. Well, to me, I'll just always think about him playing the outfield, and that to me is retribution.
You know, the Youngs are, I think, one. They might be the only pair of brothers ever to be first pick in the draft. His brother's Dimitri Young. Played first base for, like, the Nationals and Tigers for a while.
Oh, my gosh. I honestly had no idea. I'd never even heard of that guy. That's crazy. Yeah. Whoa. That's intense. Okay, so we'll announce. I don't know who. Can we pick a winner for
We'll go Delmon.
Yeah, Delmon for the size and desire to stay with a winning team / someone who needs him / not a National League team. Okay, great. Delmon Young, you have won this round of baseball WWE.
Woo! Shabbat shalom, mazel tov.
This is a super Jewish. We should get a Jewish baseball section. I'm down. A segment for that. We'll work on it.
You mean for all five baseball players?
No, I'm just saying we'll think of something that's Jew related, and we'll be happy. I'll be happy. Anyhow, you can look forward to that next week, folks. And of course, opening day. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Or if the stream is down, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate your support. This has been MLB Talk. And you are listening to UCLA Radio.
Back by the beach. Still gonna bring the heat.